Welcome to Talk with Francesca. I'm Francesca. Today we're here talking to Tara Brock, who is the author of Radical Acceptance, Embracing Your Life with the Heart of a Buddha. Let me tell you how I found it. I was in a fabric store and I was speaking to this woman, and I don't know, we got into talking about her personal life, and she started talking about this book, and she said, oh, you have to get this book. And so I went out and I got it. I had to get it, and it took me a while to get through it, but it really was life-changing, because really accepting that you have to accept what is going on in your life, whatever that is a radical transition, I think, from the way we're oftentimes used to dealing with pain, right? I mean, don't we usually take pain and say, oh, we don't want to deal with that, and go get ourselves busy or do something else, or isn't that the way it goes usually?
You got it totally right. We're actually biologically conditioned to do that. We are conditioned to contract away from what we don't like. And so, in a way, training or learning how to accept is something that takes real intention, because we're so geared to pull back or to push something away.
Well, I love that word intention, because, Tara, I think that is absolutely the key. If you really have that intention, as I said to myself, I was going through something at the time, I intend to feel the pain as it comes up. And it did feel icky. You know, it didn't feel good, but I think that having that intention, it actually kind of flows through you, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, I find that the real change happens when people get how many moments they're spending where they're at war with themselves or at war with other people. And in some way, there's something in our systems that gets that, wait a minute, I don't want to go to the end of my life being, you know, in some way at odds. And then something comes up in us that we get much more purposeful. We say, okay, so what that means is I need to pause. I need to really get when I am, you know, in fight-flight mode and say, wait a minute, can I pause and just let things be? So, yeah, it gets very intentional, as you described it.
You know, when we talk about acceptance, oh, you know, you just have to accept. You know, you hear that all the time. I think your book really defines what acceptance really is, and I think oftentimes people just don't really get what that's about. You know, accept. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I accept it. Yeah, I accept it. And they have this big story that goes with it, right?
Yeah, and it becomes a very superficial kind of acceptance. Real acceptance requires coming out of our story and into our body, where we just let things be. We stop, you know, we stop with this incessant inner dialogue, and we let life be as it is in this moment. And that is a training, and that's where meditation comes in, because mm-hmm. we are actually training ourselves to pay attention versus go into our whole chain of reactivity.
You are a clinical psychologist, is that right?
That's right.
And so you use psychology and mindfulness as a practice?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people, this is more and more coming into the fore, especially since science, you know, in the last 10 years have been over 10,000 studies, really good empirical studies showing the effect of meditation on, you know, positive emotion and on reducing stress and so on. And so now many, many people in the field of psychology are adapting mindfulness and meditative techniques, and really a big one is self-compassion, really learning how to be compassionate with ourselves.
Explain that.
Well, what has been found is that self-compassion is often the most pivotal element in terms of somebody healing from depression, from anxiety, certainly from shame, from addictive disorders, mm-hmm. unless there is, as long as we're blaming ourselves and there's self-aversion, it actually fuels addiction. And we think, well, if I judge myself and I blame myself, then maybe I'll get it together and I'll, you know, stop binge eating or I'll stop drinking. And it's actually not that way.
I'm bad, bad, bad. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. As soon as you go into that,
yeah.
Exactly right, Francesca. It's what happens is you create a really bad feeling in your body, and then that leads to the next binge. So we actually fuel a cycle of addiction by coming down on ourselves so heavily. And there's another way, which is that we can, almost as if you're looking through the eyes of the most benevolent, wise friend or grandmother or spiritual figure, and say, okay, this is harmful, this is hurting me, but it's really something that if I could have done it differently, I would have. So there's this kind of kindness that gets that we're conditioned to behave the way we do. I mean, if we're binge eating, some of the conditions were set in early childhood. Mm-hmm. Some of it's genetic, some mm-hmm. of it's cultural. In mm-hmm. other words, it's bigger than we are. So if we can step out of the blame mode.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've had people that when they can on some level say, you know, it's not my fault, rather than that being a way of saying, you know, okay, I'm not responsible, they actually become able to respond. They become, out of that kind of kindness, they find some space to start really working with what's going on.
So you are pretty open about you having struggled in the past with anxiety and sadness, depression. Is that right?
Sure.
And so how did you turn your life around?
Well, one of the big ones for me, and I really got this when I was in college dramatically, was how much self-aversion there was. On some level, I was falling short as a friend or as a parent, or I mean, then I wasn't a parent, but with my parents, I was falling short. I was falling short in the way I ate. I was falling short in not working hard enough, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I really recognized what I now call the trance of unworthiness, which
a trance, yes.
I was completely caught, and I call it a trance because if we asked all the listeners right now, well, do you judge yourself too much? Pretty much everybody would go, yep, I do. What we don't get, and I find this is the greatest truth we always forget, we don't get that if we've turned on ourselves, we really can't be happy. We can't feel love in this world. We can't trust that we really are loved. And so it's a trance because there are so many moments we're not noticing it, mm-hmm. but we've on some level ridden ourselves off. We've on some level decided that we're falling short, that we're not enough.
Trance end, right? When you think of the word trance end, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that true, right?
Yes.
Interject here that I am also an artist, and so when I was reading your book, I did this painting, and I named it Trance End. So I just listening to you and going, oh wow! So see, we were meant to speak. If you're listening in, we're just right now we're talking to Tara Brock, who is the author of Radical Acceptance: Embracing Your Life with the Heart of a Buddha. So anyway, okay. So
I like what you just said about trance end, because the trance is such a small, little, confined, painful reality or sliver, and trance end means re-embrace the truth of who we are, the wholeness. And so few people trust their goodness.
Well, sometimes when you're in a mode of depression or anxiety, sadness, you know, you've had something really horrible happen to you, it seems much easier to just sort of go into that spiraling mode. So how do you suggest stopping that, sort of cutting right into that? I mean, it's great to say, okay, well, you know, you have to meditate and you've got to love yourself and all the good things that you recommend. But when you're in that space, it can be very, very challenging to just stop. So how might you recommend doing that?
It's a great question, because I mean that's the question we're all asking when we're really, really stuck. How do we begin to find a little bit of freedom?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, freedom. Mm.
Yeah, and I think of what we do is when we're stuck, we tend towards what I call false refuge. We try to help ourselves, but they're in ways that don't usually work.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we try to help ourselves when we're stuck is either we go into some sort of an addictive behavior. I'll work real hard. I'll just get 5 more things checked off the list. That, mm-hmm. you know, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll try to prove ourselves or get somebody else to approve of us. Or we'll use the kind of more addictive consuming behaviors. So we use false refuges, trying to find some safety or something that saves us. And so the book I'm you know, just finished writing now is called True Refuge, which is where do we really turn when we're stuck? You know, if we're really caught in fear, if we're really caught in shame, where can we turn?
Especially with a real trauma, like, you know, when someone has like that post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Well, when something's really traumatizing, often in order to heal trauma, we do need other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of trauma happens in a relational field where we're in some way abused or, you know, violently treated. And even when it's not in a relational field, the kind of fear that comes up, the real healing for fear is love. I mean, there's something I really trust, which is that everything that we do is either we're in some way asking for love or we're expressing love. Mm-hmm. And when we're traumatized, love gives us a sense of connection. Trauma is a sense of disconnection. We're powerless and we're alone. So when people talk about trauma, I don't tell them to go off and sit alone and meditate. Mm-hmm. I tell them to sense, well, what is it when things are really difficult that gives you some sense of belonging, some sense of comfort, some
connection,
sense of being accompanied? Exactly.
Mm.
Now, for most people, it's another person, but for some people, it's their dog.
Yeah.
And many of us, our dogs...
We love our animals. I've got our producer right here is just an animal freak. I can't get into Facebook daily without seeing a picture of his dog. And I appreciate it. I love it. I love it. So I really get that.
Dogs are healing, and you know, a hug is healing. If you hug someone for 20 seconds, there is oxytocin that's produced in your body that is the biochemical of bonding, of connection, mm-hmm. of feeling that calmness and safety. So those are ways when you're traumatized, belonging, other people, and if you're alone, then it's reminding yourself in your mind of where there's someone that you love and that loves you.
Mm-hmm.
But many of us get stuck, and it's not out and out trauma. It's not when we're in full trauma, but we need a way that empowers us, that we can find our way back home again, back home to a sense of peace and balance
and connection. And we isolate ourselves, don't we, when we're feeling bad? Isn't that really more of the mode that we go into?
Often, some people isolate, some people can't be without other people, and they cling. So it can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
But we need ways with each other to heal, but we also need to have a way to find an inner refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I teach a lot about, is that as much as we need other people, each of us needs that kind of quiet, loving presence within our own heart that we can take refuge in. And that's what Radical Acceptance talks a lot about, and this new book does too, which is how do we find our way home within our own heart?
How do we find our way home when the holidays are so close? I feel that this is an incredible time of year where, yes, I mean, it's a joyous time for many, but it's a very painful time for probably just as many. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a way to measure it, that there's probably at least as many that are miserable, if not more. And, you know, there are dysfunctions in every family. There's no two ways about it. But, I mean, how might you suggest that there be some space for peace during this time when there's just so much going on in families that cause pain?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's huge stress. I mean, there's always that story of, you know, I went home and, you know, in the first 24 hours, my nuclear, you know, I was...
All that therapy went right out the window. What happened to all that therapy? What happened to all that understanding and accept people for who they are? And you know, and all of a sudden you're that five-year-old fighting with your brother and he's pulling on your braids and saying the things that just make you go, woo! Right? I mean, you hear,
exactly.
You know, or the drunk uncle, or, you know, I'm sure being a clinical psychologist, you hear it all, Tara. So,
there's two levels I usually work with people on. And one I call the sacred pause, which is a timeout where to the extent that we can have the wisdom to say, okay, step out of the room or just walk outside for a few minutes, just find a way to be quiet. if we can do that and take those moments, and there's these two wings of quieting that I suggest, and one is just to ask yourself, okay, what's happening inside me right now? Just breathe with it, feel it. Can I just let this be and just be with it? Mm-hmm. You know, so we become intimate with our inner life, because usually what happens is we're pedaling away from our present moment experience. We are lost. So come home. That's one piece, is the sacred pause where we reconnect with ourselves, feel our body, feel our breath, you know, just get quiet for a little bit. And sometimes I even invite people to put their hands on their heart, you know, because if you put your hand on your heart and let the gesture be even tender, as if you're communicating to your own heart, it's okay, hon. It's okay, sweetie. You know, I do this to myself. I will step out of the room and breathe and put my hand on my heart and say, sweetheart, just, it's okay. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing, isn't it?
You can kind of come back to a place of balance and sanity if you just take care of yourself as if you're taking care of a young, reactive little being that's inside you.
And it's amazing that we are so kind to other people. Whatever it is that is not right, whether they've overeaten and instead of, you know, we would say to ourselves, oh, you know, just ate the sundae, what a pig I am. And yet if a friend said, I can't believe I ate so much, I feel so fat, I look so fat. We wouldn't say that to our friends, would we? We would say, no, it's okay. You know what? Sometimes it's good to enjoy a Sunday. You know, but it's amazing that critical, over-controlling voice just wreaks havoc.
It's right? Absolutely right. So it's almost reversing that. And that's why if all people get from, let's say I'll meet with them and for a short time, and all they get is to remember now and then to put their hand on their heart and breathe and say, it's okay, sweetheart. It's amazing how that opens the door to more of intimacy with their inner life. You know, it's really changed. Because our relationship with our inner life is not very friendly and not very attentive. And if you think of, well, what does a young child most need from its parents? It needs warmth and understanding. But mm-hmm. We don't give that to ourselves.
We don't give it to ourselves. So how then, if you're dealing with someone around the holidays, let's say it's a person that's really just mean, and you know, you want to express love because you know being loving is more healing and it's going to help us, but let's say that you're dealing with someone who's really very hateful and just can't get out of that mode or doesn't want to get out of that mode. They feel safe there and there's just no breaking through that hard core. Would you recommend still being loving to that person? Would you say walk away?
Here's a metaphor that helps me, that may help our listeners, which is imagine you're walking through the woods and you see a dog's right near a tree, and you kind of, little dog, you go over to pet the dog, and all of a sudden it
bites.
Just lurches at you, bare teeth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you go from feeling, oh, what a cute little dog, to, you know, like really angry, and then you realize that one of its paws is in a trap under the leaves. And then your reaction, rather than anger, goes, oh, you poor thing. Well, it's the same thing with people that are behaving in ways that to us are, you know, aggressive and, you know, and insensitive. That person is like a dog with its leg in a trap. There's a reason.
Mm.
When people are acting a certain way, they're not happy inside.
No, of course
people
not.
People that we most are feeling, you know, turned off by, something's going on inside them
right. That's
really making them miserable. So
of
if
course.
We can have the wisdom to, on some level, get, okay, that person's having a hard time. We might not want to sit next to them at the dining room table. We might not want to spend a whole lot of time with that person. But our hearts will be more compassionate. We'll have more space. And, you know, that makes us more of a real human. I mean,
absolutely.
We're rather than being in a kind of trance-like reaction,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing, oh, that person has their leg in a trap.
You know, I understand that, and I don't disagree with any of what you're saying, and I think that's great knowledge and great wisdom. But sometimes those people can really hurt. Can be dangerous almost to be around.
If somebody's dangerous to be around, I feel like we need to honor our own being and
right.
create the boundaries we need
yep.
and create the distance we need. So this isn't about how we do our boundaries. This is more about our hearts.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a teaching I heard many years ago which says to not push anyone, including yourself, out of your heart. And it doesn't mean that you decide not to divorce a person. You can divorce a person. You mm-hmm. might decide never to see the person again. But it's for the freedom of your own heart that you don't stay tight and unforgiving.
Right.
It's for the freedom of your own heart. So, sure, we take care of ourselves as we need to. If somebody is dangerous, we keep out of the way.
Yep. So you meditate, obviously, quite a bit. So what is a healthy dose of meditation in a day?
Well, one thing I really encourage people, and I've had so many people thank me for saying this, which is if you can, the greatest gift to your own soul is if you can commit yourself to a daily meditation practice. Mm-hmm. It's like the poet Rumi says, do you make regular visits to yourself?
Oh.
What a beautiful question. Okay. So if we say, okay, every day I'm going to visit myself, I'm going to in some way pause and get still, and when we use the word meditate, I think of mindfulness, that we just become mindful, which means just paying attention to what's going on inside us mm-hmm. without judgment in this present moment. That's mindfulness, paying attention mm-hmm. without judgment in this present moment to what's happening. And if we can only do that for 3 minutes, it's okay. And that's what people have thanked me for, because I gave them a back door. I said, do mm-hmm. it every day.
Do it. As soon as you said 3 minutes, they said, phew.
Exactly. It's like, okay, most people in the world, no matter how busy, you know, even if it's at the very end of a busy day and you sit at the edge of your bed and you just find your breath, because mm-hmm. the breath is one of these more universal ways of collecting our attention, and just mm-hmm. know that you're going to try to stay. Try when you get caught in thinking. The most basic meditation technique is when you get caught in thinking, don't judge it. Just notice, oh, thinking, and see if you can come back to the feelings in your body and the sounds and the sensory activity of this present moment. Just come back and come back and come back. And if you just for 3 minutes notice what's happening in your body and your heart, and you have the intention not to judge, that's it. Then you might just bow your head and say, may everybody in this world be peaceful and free, and call it a day.
And call it a day. Tara Brock, thank you so much for being with us at Talk with Francesca today. I really appreciated it. How can our listeners find you?
My website's probably the easiest, which is tarabrock.com.
And that's BRACH.com. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Tara, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Francesca.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.